A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was Comic Book Club! And here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Justin Tyler!
Yay!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Comic Book Club. My name is Justin.
I am Pete.
And that is Kenny Cords, our
announcer. Kenny Cords!
He's
Kenny Farmer.
Kenny Farmer, Kenny Cords, they call him.
An amazing artist.
He's an artist with his voice and with his hands.
Yeah, yeah. Two ways.
In two ways. Thank you guys for coming out tonight.
The artist.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming out tonight. We got a great show for you. Very fun guest. I feel like everyone's very dapper here tonight. We got a bow tie
on this
young man.
Or are you just saying that because you have a tie on?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's you dress
everyone, meaning you and one audience member.
Yeah, well, that's dress for the job you want, Pete. And what is that? What outfit would this suggest?
I suggest I should host a comic book show.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess that's the job I want.
Loose pants, and a Fitbit.
and
skateboarding shoes from the mid-90s.
Yeah, and don't forget my Hellboy t-shirt, you asshole.
Hellboy t-shirt, you asshole, that's right. Great, and I'm dressed for a job as a casual banker. We have a great show for you guys tonight. Let's talk about our guest, returning guest of the show. He's doing a ton of different work. He's on the stage, Mr. Dave Galler.
Yeah! A returning and favorite guest.
Favorite.
Yeah.
What they don't mention is that because you guys are listening to this on the radio, I'm actually dressing for the job I want. I'm naked.
Yeah, he's going.
Oh, man.
And that
get that awkward visual.
He was applauding because he finally knows why you're naked.
I wonder if anybody is now Google searching you to see what you would look like and then be like.
Yeah, everyone's undressing you with their eyes now. Look at this crowd. Yeah. They are erotically charged, which is going to be a great payoff as we do our wildly sexual show.
Yep.
So, Dave, you are doing a bunch of stuff all across the comic book spectrum.
Oh, yes. I'm working on a new book, Red, then Orange and Yellow and Green.
Sticking to the, you only work in one color at a time.
Yeah, patterns.
Which makes for a difficult
read. Speaking of spectrum, so I think I'm really excited. I'm working on Green Lantern Corps, part of the Convergence for DC starting in April.
Nice.
That's very exciting. It's a huge event.
Yeah.
And it's part of the Convergence thing is that a lot of the characters are from very particular eras throughout DC history.
Yeah, so I'm really fortunate in that I get to work with Hal Jordan.
Wow.
And, great. He's the inker?
Yeah, he's penciling the book.
Great, actually. That's going to be good.
John Stewart is inking the book.
Great.
And then we've got Guy Gardner coloring it.
Wow.
Colorful language.
Give him some extra time, because he's lazy.
Yeah. No, actually, we're really excited. It's definitely from a particular era. We're part of week three, so we're firmly in the pre-crisis camp. So it's John Stewart. Hal Jordan has resigned. John Stewart is the Green Lantern, and Guy Gardner is angry.
Great. Nice. So tell us about the event sort of as a whole and how this fits in.
So basically, without giving too much of it away.
No, feel free. Feel free. Give it away.
Because spoilers, everybody dies and they're in heaven. No, wait. No, seriously.
Wow.
I know, right?
Existential. Surprise. Yeah, that's great. Finally.
All Green Lanterns go to heaven.
Yeah, great Disney movie.
No, what's actually really exciting is that this bad guy, Telos, has created these domed worlds, and in these domed worlds, sort of like bottled cities, there are different eras of different characters. So I think week one is the modern, recent modern era. Week two is kind of the 90s. Week three, which is the era that I'm part of, is the 1980s, pre-crisis. And then week four, it's kind of all out of control, golden agey kind of
now,
stuff.
Now, with your era, are you going to do like a lot of slap bracelets and people walk around being like, no doy?
Those are the big hallmarks of the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s, bro.
No doy.
We're going to be quoting from Fast Times from Ridgemont High.
Nice.
A lot.
Yeah, great.
A little bit of Goonies is in there.
Elf? Yep. You're going to get some Elf references?
Yeah, some Elf Family Ties.
Yep. Yeah.
Bobby McFerrin is doing the soundtrack, top to bottom.
Well, no, because that's after Crisis, so we can't even include
it. We can't include it. I like that you knew that as if you asked the DC editorial, like, we got a big McFerrin move we're doing. Like, yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
I couldn't even quote Die Hard, because, again, post-Crisis, so I was
going to... I'm not going to pick up the book, then.
Why did you... So you build your pop culture references out of Crisis, and you're like, oh, Bobby McFerrin is clearly a post-crisis artist.
Yeah.
Or is it because of the crisis he had in his life that made him then write Don't Worry, Be Happy? The great Bobby McFerrin crisis.
Oh, man. Poor Bobby McFerrin, dude.
He had a nervous breakdown.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Yes, what you thought. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Bobby McFerrin.
Hey-o! Bobby! Hey!
Here's a little song I wrote. Yeah. You might want to sing it.
Don't
worry.
Be happy.
I had
that soundtrack.
That was an album. That was an album.
Well, actually, no. The soundtrack was the Cocktail soundtrack. It was the last track.
Was it really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Cocktail is one of the only movies I rewatch like once or twice.
The first song, why would you do that?
Cocktail's a great film.
No, it's not.
It is excellent.
No way it is.
It's a crazy...
That cannot hold up the test of time.
It's still perfect.
Perfect?
Bottle flipping...
You're saying Cocktail is a perfect movie.
Bottle flipping never goes out of style. It's a little confusing because he starts in the beginning. You forget because you don't ever watch from the beginning because you turn on like TNT and it's already starting. But he was in the military, Tom Cruise. And then he goes and tries to go to law school.
Right, because it picks up... Right after Top Gun. That's more of a sequel or spinoff from Top Gun.
And then the seductive life of bartending takes him over for quite a long time. Then he goes down to Jamaica and meets a lovely young lady by the name of Elizabeth Shue. And boy,
that's
do they
in
have,
the movie?
I don't remember. but it's great. No, you guys into that?
Nobody.
Nope.
Eat it.
Go watch
JT
Cocktail. Okay, cool. We'll get back to talking about Convergence from the 80s.
It's actually really spectacular. We're having a really great time. It's super exciting. Steve Ellis is drawing it. If you're familiar with our work on Only the Living Boy or High Moon or the stuff we did for Marvel.
I would have to say High Moon is my favorite.
The stuff we did on High Moon.
It was amazing.
Which is awesome. So he's drawing it. It's super spectacular. If you like all the stuff that we do in those books, you will really like Green Lantern Corps Convergence. So I'm super excited about that. And then in March... Steve and I are working on a new book for a collection for IDW called Deadlands. Deadlands, A Dead Man's Hand. It's available for pre-order now.
Did you purposely make it so hard to say?
No.
Okay.
I wanted to have a lot of deads in it, though, because it just sounded cool. Yeah.
Can you say it again for us?
Deadlands, Dead Man's Hand.
Oh, wow.
Nobody else thought that was hilarious? Okay.
Deadlands, Dead Man Hands.
But it's a great collection. It's got work from Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray and Ron Mars and Bart Sears, Lee Motor, David Gallagher and Steve Ellis. And it's available for pre-order now. And then we're currently also working on The Only Living Boy, which is our serialized action-adventure young adult webcomic.
And tell us about that. It's a great book. Series, I guess you could say.
Well, we just released issue 3 in October. Issue 4 debuts next month. And it's a story of a 12-year-old boy who runs away from home, finds himself lost alone in a patchwork alien world with mermaid warriors and insect princesses and chimerical dragons and mad scientists. And it's all about loneliness and isolation and depression and adolescence and all those things
great.
That were really
terrible. You so casually say the words mermaid warriors like it's a part of your daily lexicon.
I would just like to go on record and say all the 12-year-old boys living at home, don't run away. Because otherwise you will go into this tailspin of depression and
isolation.
But what about the mermaid warriors?
You're encouraging people to run away? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, run away from home. Get out in the world. Get a job as a casual banker.
Well, it works so good for Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
She
had a massive head injury and then was later went back to the old
farm.
And
the kids from Narnia, I think they all turned out well, right, at the end in that last book?
One kid just got fatter, I believe. He had too much
candy.
Talking
about the last book of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, the eighth book where they're all just have, like, bad jobs and they're in their 40s.
Yeah, that's not how it ends. Yeah,
the horn doesn't work to go back and fix that.
Yeah, that's actually not how it ends.
No?
No.
I don't understand the Christian allegory then, I guess.
If it's not a movie about drinking, Justin doesn't get it.
That movie's not about drinking. It just features a lot of it.
Yeah, ta-da.
It's about growing up and being
a man. So The Only Living Boy has been, it's been really good for us. This year we were nominated for, or last year we were nominated for our third Harvey Award.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats. That's a run. That's like a Meryl Streep's level run.
I know. Thank you. So
I said Meryl Streep's.
Well done.
The lesser known actress. She's not as good.
I thought you were doing like the plural version of.
No, there are two Meryl Streep's out there. There's no way she could be that good in all those movies. There are two of her. Like Batman Bruce Wayne.
Like Glenn Closest?
Yeah, exactly. The Glenn Closest.
Glenn Close.
That's good.
Glenn Closer and Glenn Closest.
Now, Steve Ellis, he's the artist on all of these books.
Yes.
So you're
you're a
comic book married, basically.
We are, yeah. We have a small little studio called Bottled Lightning, and we've been working together, I don't know, for 8 years and done over 1,000 pages of comics together.
That's almost as long as we've been doing the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and we've done 1,000 words together.
Actually, probably about 1,000 hours together.
Yeah, no, more than that. I count them on my arm every night with a razor.
Well, on your Fitbit. Oh, it's going to say on your Fitbit.
Just kidding, guys. Just never make fun of Cocktail again.
Oh my God.
So, does it feel weird when you work with another artist?
Not
like a mistress artist.
No.
Yeah, do you feel like you're cheating on your artist if you worked on another project?
Does it feel like strange but good?
No.
Do sometimes you crave something new, and then when you get it, you realize you really ruined something great that you had?
Yeah, then you can't go back. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you got a weird threesome with Steve Ellis and some other artist.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't know who to please first and what the pecking order is.
The pecking order. What a weird choice of words.
No. No, I've...
And the subtext is never get involved in a threesome with Pete. All he talks about is the pecking order.
Done.
Who's getting pecked first?
When I first broke into comics, I was working with a bunch of different artists. I mean, I broke in I guess, 2001. After I left Marvel, I had done work. But what's great about Steve is that we have a really great back-and-forth collaborative relationship. The only other artists I've really worked with has really been Kevin Colden.
That guy's cool.
Yeah, he's cool, right?
Yeah.
So we worked on a book last year together called Alternities, about an alternate version of the 1980s where Lennon...
This dude loves the 80s.
I love the 80s. I'm like a VH1 special.
You are. Yeah. You're just living in the 80s, bro.
And then we did Immortals for Archaea. But yeah, it's when you work with somebody for so long, you build up certain shorthands. If I say, like, give me a Loki, like, as a pose, he knows what I mean. Like
a Loki?
A Loki, L-O-K-I. Yeah. Like, it means a very specific, like, John Buscema-like pose where, like, a character's, like, got his hands on the arms
of a chair.
Oh, that's
really cool.
And he's slouching like this. You know, not that you can really hear that on a podcast.
No, you can hear, like, the subtle body
movements. Right. So, or is it Give Me a Kirk, and it's a very specific type of Captain Kirk-like look.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's...
When you say, like, I need these fucking pages now.
No.
And then he's like...
Then he knows that you need them right away.
What happens is, so, like, so much of the process is collaborative, so that I generally know at every stage where things are, also because I'm kind of a perfectionist pain in the ass.
Wow. You got to be really awesome to work with.
I'm like, hey, why don't we move it? So what happens is, like, I write the script, Steve and I talk about it, then we Skype a conference or we'll physically meet face-to-face and we'll do layouts as we're going through the script. One of my previous editors is in the audience now, and he knows that, like, for one of the books we did, we actually gave him a completed layout book and spiral notebook. So, like, we do just exhaustive.
He seems so happy to.
Yeah, he's like, wow, just, yeah. I can't believe you're telling everybody what a douche you are.
I think how we work is just very unusual for the way modern comics are, because we put together book maps of our stuff, and then we reference it back and forth and, like, post-it notes where we do lettering placements. And for some people, they're not used to that. So we work really well together. I don't know how well we work with other people, but we work together really well.
You guys are MFEO.
What?
Made for each other. Watch Sleepers in Seattle. Great movie.
I won't disagree with you.
You prefer Sleepers in Seattle to Cocktail?
Yeah, that's right.
Holy shit. You don't get how the world works. Let's move on to our next section, which we like to call the Stab. Ladies and gentlemen, in this section, we are going to talk about some comics that came out this week. We're going to go to bat for them. We're going to talk about what's great, what's terrible, and why Pete is wrong about them.
Do you guys ever do comics from, like, the back issue? Do you guys ever, like, instead of comics about this week, let's talk about comics from, like, 6 years ago.
You know, I was just talking about this on my way down here with a buddy of mine. Wouldn't it be cool if we got, like, one of those mixed bags from, like, a Dwayne Reed or whoever they make them, and just open it on the show and read and review whatever is in there.
Wow.
Yeah. So that actually, there's a 99-cent store by my house that sells in 3 for $1.
You know what? Let's have you back. Bring a 4-pack of those, and we will read some bad comics.
Yeah.
Some of them are awesome.
Some of them are awesome, actually. Sure, and it's actually, because you can see the one in the front, what it is.
It's always a good one in the front.
It's the middle comic. It's the middle comic.
And often the middle comic is so weird that you've never heard of it, and it's like
actually, that's how I, the middle comics are how I got an entire run of Who's Who from the 80s.
What, you bought that many mixed bags?
Yeah, like 12.
Wow.
They're only, it's $12. It's like,
whatever money bags.
Whoa, jeez, all right, okay, I don't know.
$12 is nothing.
Rubbing it in our face.
Yeah, I dropped $12 like nothing.
Yeah, exactly, on a mixed bag of comics. Yeah. Real door number three kind of guy over
there. Yeah, he is.
So anyway, let's talk about some comics that are here right in front of us now. Let's start off by talking about one of Pete's picks, The Punisher.
Yeah!
Number 14. Woo-hoo-hoo! Pete, tell us who The Punisher's shooting tonight.
Oh, man. All right, so this is a really touching, really hard issue to talk about here.
Okay. It's a very special review.
So this issue deals with a lot of, like, Punisher's problems with authority and people who try to do wrong things.
Very different than
where
every other
Punisher
issue.
Picks up a gun and says, you know what, I can't take it anymore. I will defend this family to the death. I will shoot whoever I need to save the people who need to live.
And
in this world.
I feel like I have to interrupt you to give you, just everyone listening, the slightest bit of backstory so they understand what you're talking about. The modern Howling Commandos are chasing down the Frank Castle, the Punisher, and they have kidnapped Frank's only living relatives, which just so happens to be a family of four, which is the same type of family he had when they were all killed.
Yeah,
and they're
sometimes life repeats itself a little bit.
Yeah, especially in comic books. And so they have kidnapped them. The Punisher is assaulting the skyscraper they have them in.
Right.
There's also a gang war with a rival. The Punisher killed a gang leader. His brother took over the gang in L.A. and they are literally destroying Los Angeles right as this is happening.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
A lot going on. And you're saying this is hard because the Punisher has to shoot some dudes.
I'm also saying this is tough because Punisher, spoilers, gets shot at the end.
Yeah, he does get shot.
And he's laying on the ground.
Is this the last issue of the Punisher?
I hope not because it's been an amazing run. And, if you look at this panel here, I mean, you just turned right by it here. Look at that. See, there's Slugs, so he might still be alive.
Yeah, there's a small chance he could still be alive. Let's hope he pulls through. Please send flowers to Frank Castle, the L.A. hospital, and let's hope he can really pull through.
I'm really hoping he does.
Well, actually, I didn't know if you read this, but they're rebooting this as the Superior Punisher.
Fuck you. Fuck you. This is a really sensitive moment right here.
Yeah, I know. That's
for you
so
to
exciting.
Fucking tread on that like that, like, it's just bullshit.
Wait. Is Doc Ock and him like he was in...
No, dude.
A lot of people would think it's not actually Doc Ock. It's not Doc Ock. It's the Punisher becomes a superior version of himself.
Frank Castle is not a superior version of that.
In the Superior Iron Man, is it also Doc Ock?
Yeah, Doc Ock is running a lot of brains
right now. That guy is just all over the place.
Come
on, though. You did find it amazing when it was like, where's the Punisher? And then the doors open in the elevator and he got off and started shooting
people. I love when an elevator opens at just the right time.
It's just great. It's
great. I actually do really like this book. Nathan Edmondson is the writer of this book, and he is great.
Also, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I also would like to point out, like, he really does know weapons and military tactics really well. So it's like we're really getting a great Punisher on his when he's in charge.
He doesn't make a lot of gun mistakes.
Well, no. I just like sometimes you feel like the person writing the book like never really understood.
Never held a gun. I feel like went on a rampage.
You know, it's he talks about being a Marine and like you really get that feel. I feel like it's a
good, right?
It's really good representation of the Punisher. Go ahead.
Have you been a Marine?
Oh God, no.
Have you been a Marine?
No, I have not. Let me.
But my friend has been a Marine.
Kenny Quartz has.
So he knows what he's talking about.
I kind of think that being a classically trained, please correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny, a classically trained actor is a lot like going through the Marine Corps.
Oh, my God, what?
Because you're trained. It's a very extensive training.
Oh, please.
A lot of, like, vocal boot camp.
Unique New York.
Yeah, unique New York. New York. Exactly. I sit upon the slitted sheet, and on the slitted sheet I sit. How did you like this issue? Have you been reading the Punisher?
I have not. I didn't even know.
Well, what is wrong with your life?
I make comics, so I don't usually have a chance to.
Okay, fine.
Oh damn!
So you can't contribute to something that you're just taking money from. You can't give back
to
the. You can't give back to the community that's helping you.
I go to the comic store once a month.
Okay.
And I walk.
He's
and
like
walk
12
there.
Deep in mixed bags, man. He's just getting what's coming to him.
Money bags.
He can't pick out a comic.
Yeah. I walk.
Scrooge McDuck can.
I walk 7 miles to my comic shop.
It's uphill both ways?
No, it's just right alongside Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's a lovely walk.
It is really nice.
And is that Bergen Street Comics?
No, I go to Galaxy Comics.
Oh, nice.
I walk from my house to Galaxy Comics and back.
Nice.
And that,
great.
Yeah, that's got that second flight up there.
See if you can catch Dave walking to the comic book store, guys. Hand him a
the comic book store is a reward for getting all my pages done for that month.
That's a great way to. That's a hard way to live, but it's a great way to reward yourself.
Yeah. But I was getting berated for not going to the comic store.
Yeah, you've been on this show before, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, I've never.
I've never felt this way before. Let's move on and talk about Iron Fist, the Living Weapon number 8.
This has got to be your pick.
This
you love the shit.
Honestly, this book is amazing.
Is that a grizzly bear?
Nope.
Flip through it real quick while I talk about it. Kare Andrews is doing the writing and art on this book.
It's just so badass.
It's very badass.
Yeah.
Holy
super
shit.
Super badass.
And this book is about Danny Rand. He's facing a lot of his demons. He encounters his mother who has died, his father who also died. And
that is a grizzly bear.
Yes, I know. No one was denying that.
Okay.
And it's he has to go back to Kunlun and deal with all this old stuff, and then he's just about to turn back around and go wreck some shit. And this book, honestly, is probably top 3 on the stands of what I'm reading right now. Go back and read it from the beginning. It's not too far in. I think the trade, which is called Rage, maybe came out like a month ago or so. I got the nod from Bowtie over there, so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, if a guy in a bow tie gives you a nod, you know you're in the right.
Exactly. Or you're buying a lot of popcorn.
Is this the last issue?
No, it's not.
Oh. Okay.
It's a great last issue pose, but it does.
Yeah,
it's
like it
holds
no
the last
to be continued
panel.
There's just the little Iron Fist sign.
Well, that's supposed to tell you. I mean, Iron Fist, great character. I feel like
can't wait for the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Netflix is going to be
what? What?
The
Netflix series with Iron Fist?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's just super exciting.
Pete, what did you think about this issue?
No, I really
that, it was a very lackadaisical answer.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you were being sarcastic.
Iron Fist is a character that I have loved since 1988, playing the Marvel
Superheroes.
80s. Post-crisis, playing the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game.
There was no crisis in the Marvel Universe, as far as I understand.
I'm just saying that I used to play the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game, and the character I always played was Iron Fist.
Nice. Interesting.
Nice. Always played Iron Fist.
Why?
All right.
Because
take it easy.
Because, what?
No, I was like, all right, we get it. You were Iron Fist.
I really liked him.
It's cool. Why did you choose Iron Fist?
Because there was a show on at the same time with Carl Weathers. called Street Justice.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I remember that.
And Carl Weathers was a Luke Cage-like analog, and he was like this black cop in New York, and he was trained by, like, his partner was like this kung fu master. And I thought, wow, you know, like, there's a lot of similarities between that and Power Man and Iron Fist, and I wanted to believe me because I was like, clearly I was raised as an orphan in a mystical city. But no, it's just something I really brought to. It was like post American Ninja era TV and comics.
Yeah. Pete, if you, and that was the Marvel role playing game you said.
Yeah.
Pete, if you had to choose a character to be in the Marvel role playing game, who would you choose?
Punisher. I mean, that's pretty obvious. So.
No guns.
What I really like about the show is we followed up the Punisher with Iron Fist. I mean, that's two badass comics right in a row. Yeah. Suck it, Zalbin. suck it.
We'll send
suck
him.
It.
We always send him a little clip from the show, and this one's going to be Suck It, Zalbin, like it's been for the last 65 in a row. let's move on and talk about another great comic on the stand, Swamp Thing number 38.
Oh, people love it.
Charles Soule. Soule.
Did you guys ever watch the Swamp Thing cartoon?
Oh, the live-action show?
No, the cartoon.
I haven't seen the cartoon, but the live-action show I watched was on USA.
I used to watch that as well.
Anybody else? Okay, great.
There's a Swamp Thing cartoon. And every time I think of the Swamp Thing book, I think of the theme song, which was like a version of the Trogs, like, Wild Thing. It was like, Swamp Thing,
you are amazing. You know what? Yeah. This is coming back. I have seen this.
You make everything.
Yeah,
swampy.
I was going to say green. I thought maybe it would be green.
No. But speaking of the green, Swamp Thing is an amazing book. It's got the rot. It's got plants. Yeah. It's got animals. It's got minerals.
Yeah. Just like the real world. this book is great. I feel like Charles has done an amazing job.
Charles guy does a lot of stuff.
He's very busy, but he also does a great job. He executes high quality while also doing high quantity, which is very rare.
He kills things?
Huh?
He executes?
He does execute a lot of it. He executes documents as well. He's a lawyer who's doing a lot of lawyering.
I mean, he can't be doing a lot of lawyering right now because he's doing so much writing.
He does sometimes do lawyering.
I mean, come on.
He lawyers on the side.
He's got to be taking a break
from that.
He
loiters on the side or lawyers on the side?
He's not loitering at all because he's too busy writing comic book pages. So anyway, this book he has brought, I mean, when
this is like an action-packed issue.
It is, because there's a lot of there are different. There's as Dave was saying, there's the rot, there's the green, there's the gray, there's the red, there's all
like
that. Now there's the machine group. It's sort of like the way
that happens in this.
What did you say? A three-way?
Yeah.
There's some sexy scenario in this situation.
I mean, what more do you want of a comic?
And I guess the biggest question we all have is what is the pecking order in that three-way, Pete? If you could fill us in. Check out Pete's Twitter feed. He'll be filling us in all the pecking orders. We should have people tweet at you with three different people, and you can lay out the pecking order.
I will do that. That's if anybody tweets at me, three different people, I'll give you the pecking order.
Three different comic
book
characters.
In a Deadpool Punisher Pete triage.
Oh,
right.
It's just your pecking order. It's a one and two situation.
Yeah, right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Do you need to think about it?
Lady Deadpool and Lady Punisher and Pete LePage?
Yeah, well, however you want to roll the dice.
If you tweet, I'll answer.
Oh, you don't want to answer now? Great. It's like the way that Geoff Johns added the spectrum to the Green Lantern world, I feel like Charles has done the Swamp Thing to great effect. It doesn't feel like a derivative move. It feels very organic, very awesome, organic, pun intended. Very good book.
It's actually reminiscent, oddly enough, of the 80s when they tried to do this same thing with...
Are you selling the 80s?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Like,
we can't go back. It's over.
You know,
I've
never wanted a Capri Sun more in my life than right now.
I'm just saying.
You can still get those, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Just saying, what I like about it is that it's reminiscent of when in the late 80s they did, post-crisis, did Avatar. So you had Swamp Thing was like the plant Avatar, and Firestorm was like the fire Avatar.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
And that's why I like this, because it is reminiscent, but simultaneously new.
Yeah. It does feel like he took a lot of history of Swamp Thing from everybody who's worked on it and really built something new out of it in a great way.
It's,
And let's move on to one final book, Ant-Man number one, yeah, by Marvel Comics. This written by the lovely Nick Spencer.
Nick Spencer, yeah.
Yep. Pete, what did you like about this book? Art by Ramon Razanas.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like this book. Kind of Ant-Man, Marvel smartly coming out with an Ant-Man book in honor of the movie.
You think that's, yeah, I guess it's a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Probably not, though.
Interesting.
Probably a well-planned and executed thing.
Executed.
I think this is a great first issue. We get a lot of action. We get like a little backstory, find out a lot about Ant-Man. I feel like this is a great characterization of the character. I feel like this feels like Ant-Man. It's funny. It's weird. It's got some real heart to it. I really enjoyed this first issue, and I feel like sometimes that's hard to pull off with a character who's been around for a while, but I think they really do a great job with this.
One of the things I like is that it's vaguely reminiscent of the work that Samnee and Wade were doing on Daredevil.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen just because that's so popular. Marvel's going to try to do more of that, you know.
Like a very character-centric story.
Yeah, and if anybody read Nick Spencer's Superior Foes of Spider-Man, this sort of tonally continues on, where there's like it's very funny throughout the book, but there's also a lot of heart, a lot of great action. Very good.
And, that's a weird... this back cover ad is kind of weird. Are they selling like ant colonies here?
Yeah, they're ants. They're really pushing ants.
It's a special variant.
Adopt an ant.
Oh, it's a special variant. Gotcha. Yeah.
Justin has a hookup.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I throw money around like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, that's why there's ants on the inside front cover as well. Gotcha. Yeah. Never mind.
I mean, that's a very low-level mystery solve, guys. That's another great detective case closed.
What's nice is that it's what's nice about Scott Lang and sort of that this book hit sort of right when the trailer came out, so there's a nice synchronicity because Scott's not a character with a ton of unnecessary backstory.
Right.
So you could see the trailer. You could buy the book, and you could become an.
You'd be like, "This guy isn't Paul Rudd."
Yeah, I feel
not
like
America's sweetheart.
Like, you know, like Sean the first Cusack. Couple of panels, like, really just sums up who Ant-Man is. Like, there's this really fun moment where he's like really small. He gets by this guard, and then he gets big again, just to like bust his balls to be like, hey, "You can't see me," and then he's small again, where it's like. Yeah,
really
I feel like they did
really
like just like three panels. You got it.
Yeah, because he's regular sized and then small.
What it reminds me of a lot is
no, because you could have been small the whole fucking time, but he got big just to bust his balls, asshole.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way.
What it reminds me of a lot is Dwayne McDuffie when he was working on the Justice League animated series. People are always saying like you write the characters so realistic, and he says no, the key isn't writing the characters realistically. Because if they were realistically, they would behave very differently. My goal is to make them feel naturalistic. Ooh. Like, if I were in that environment, how would I behave? If I were Spider-Man, would I be pacing the floor or would I literally be pacing the walls? And so it's that idea of, like, these guys behave like you because, in a way, they are you. They're reflections. And when you try to make everybody realistic, everybody's wearing black power armor or you know, face masks and stuff, but here, this is somebody you can relate to. He's naturalistic.
Yeah. That's great.
It's deep.
You just really blew our minds. I wish I had some armor. Great, and that's it for the stag.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, where are you going?
I'm getting out of here, guys, because it's time for our favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Because it's time to provide a little question that we will answer. Like,
yeah, it can be anything about comics, nerdy, television,
Aristotelian
movies.
Questions about the
it
nature
could be
of
about
theater,
working
comic book artist.
Eight to 9 years in business. Anything you would like?
Wondering about like where Pete keeps his clothing at his apartment. Yes.
If it's a what if question.
Okay.
What if in the world that we live in, all the comic book characters aged in real time from when they first became comic book characters, what comic books would you be reading right now, do you think?
If all the characters aged in real time. You know, there was a really great... I'm just going to quick aside. There was a really great Carl Kessel Fantastic Four that I guess it was in 1998. It was like a what-if version, and it was literally what if the characters aged in real time. It was a fantastic book. You should really check it out. I think Tom Brevoort edited it. It was splendid. But what would I be reading now if the characters...
So if that were true, then like a lot of our favorite older characters would be very old and maybe not as spry as they used to be. Like you're talking your Spider-Mans. Incredible Hulk would be either taking a lot of steroids or sleeping well afternoon. Yeah.
Punisher'd
be, he'd be gray, but he'd be doing so.
I think I would probably be reading a book, a new title, that's probably like Firefly, which would probably be like what would happen if Wasp and Johnny Storm got together. I'd probably be reading a book of their children rather than like legitimately organically cool stuff. Or Marvel did a What If book, a Secret Wars What If book, and it was like the children of Secret Wars, and that was written by like Jay Farber and I think art by Greg Siegel. And it was that idea of like characters like, what would I would be reading the whatever book is the child of Storm and Thor. I'd be reading that book and whatever book.
A lot of big matchups here. They hardly know each other, and you're putting them in.
Dude, they were hanging out in Asgard in the 80s.
Jesus Christ. Great. What's that?
I was going to say.
Punisher would be dead.
Fuck you, asshole.
No,
you don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
70. Yeah,
he would be the chairman of the NRA. He'd be. He'd be the one saying, my cold dead hand.
That's true. He would probably be Charlton Heston.
Definitely.
Or Hugh Hefner, or a little bit of
Or he'd be making movies, Clint Eastwood style.
I'd probably be reading Jubilee because she would be older, more mature, and since she was trained by Wolverine, she would be ridiculously more badass now.
Interesting choice, Pete.
Nice.
Very
well
good.
Done.
Nice. I mean, I got to think like someone like Darkhawk would be coming into his prime in much that same regard. We're talking about 90s characters. I actually like the idea of letting characters age out a little bit because it puts a time limit on the stories. So I feel like the stories would get a little better because the stakes are higher because Spider-Man's only going to be the right age for a few years to really do this particular story.
Yeah,
you can't be in high school for more than 4 years, so tell the high school stories.
Right.
And then new characters are refreshing the banks.
Yeah, but this is also the argument of, like, that's what's great about comic books is it's not in the real world. So they don't have to age. We can have something that's great and crystallized and keep it there and just enjoy where they are and what they're doing.
What I love about Savage Dragon is that the characters age.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite, and not my favorite thing, but that's one of the best things about that book for me is like right now I'm reading the stories of Malcolm Dragon.
Yeah, and he has been doing, like, that guy is, Eric Larson has been writing that for so long. It really is just like, he's telling every story that he can with these characters.
Which
and
is awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. Oh. Great question. Who else has a question? Please raise your hand. Very exciting. Yes, you, sir. Please ask a question.
Anything from pop culture doesn't even have to be comics. What would you get rid of from the 80s?
Wow. A shot across the bow of our guest, Dave Gallagher. What would you get rid of from the 80s?
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
Oh, no!
Whoa!
Political answer.
Ronnie. Ronnie.
He was pop culture.
He is pop culture.
Well,
yeah,
I guess
movie
we...
star.
Oh, I wouldn't get rid of him.
Well, I guess we won't be eating ketchup for breakfast anymore. Then.
I guess
is that what you want?
I'll tell you what I wouldn't get rid of is Action Jackson to turn it back to Carl Weathers. Really? That fucking movie was the shit.
Wow.
He jumped over a car. Do you remember that?
Okay. That's
he
cool.
jumped over a car.
Wow, I've never heard you express such love.
You know who else can jump over a car? Punisher.
Probably.
No.
He just shoots and he shoots down and like the car.
In fact, I got to say, I bet the Punisher really couldn't jump over a car.
He's loaded
down with a lot of stuff.
Actually, he probably couldn't.
Yeah. Fuck you guys. He could jump over a car.
I bet he can barely jump at all.
Well, it's superior. Superior Punisher.
Superior Punisher.
Nobody's talking about that.
We are.
Nobody is.
Dude.
Nobody.
The Twitter sphere is lighting up with that shit right
now.
We
haven't even aired this, you dick.
Huh? No, just from conversation. Word of mouth. Yeah. We put it out into the world, and it changed the world.
No, it did not.
What from the comic book world? Let's bring it back a little bit down to the topic that we so love. From the 80s.
What would I get? I would get rid of Ms. Marvel's rape.
Oh wow!
It got,
Carol Danvers,
it got,
rape.
Okay, that's a
it
very
got real word.
That's good. A good answer.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't want people to be raped.
Yeah, great. Even especially when it's a character in a comic book that you don't have to have that.
I'm just saying that it did a lot of damage to the character. And, you know.
Yeah. Great, Pete.
I don't know what to say after that.
Well, say something else is the idea.
I would like to get rid of rape.
You don't have to be
I would
his
like,
answer.
You know, I mean, I want kids who don't have parents to find a home.
Okay.
I would like
What about Superman 4? Would you get rid of Superman 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The 80s was the shit. I loved the 80s. I mean, except for crack. I'd like to get rid of crack.
No, not for, in the comic book world. In the comic book world.
Hey, crack took over everything, man.
Okay, I don't know if that's accurate, but...
Swept up in it.
Cool.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. That was like right when I started reading comics. It was like 1989, maybe.
That's when I started reading comics.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know what...
I think that's the first time I started reading Captain America. It was a cover with... he had two Uzis.
And it was trying
to make Captain America hard in the 80s.
That was Captain... I know what issue that is. That's when he killed the ultimatum guy in the airplane.
Yeah.
That was actually really... That whole era was so good. 80s style. U.S. Agent forever.
There was a lot, U.S. Agent and... and Nomad. The Nomad stuff was before that,
yeah.
Right?
No, Nomad stuff was concurrent.
Was it? Wow.
Yeah. And then,
anyway. U.S. Agent was such a jerk.
And then, they had a Spider-Man cover where it was, kind of like him... on a bike, he was trying to make him look all, 80s hard.
Yeah. Everyone was getting more badass in the 80s. Spider-Man's Wedding.
Oh!
I think we've already done that.
Yeah.
These guys are both huge Spider-Man fans who both agree.
Oh, wait, I got to get people comics. I can't just drink up here. I have to get people comics.
We have another question over here from Mr. Kenny Cords.
Now that the Star Wars comics have had a changing of the guard and Marvel's taken over... If you could have any artist-writer combination to a Star Wars comic, who would it be, and maybe what comic?
All right.
Great. Well, we have the Star Wars comic that comes out tomorrow, number one. Jason Aaron and John Cassaday, hard to beat that combination, first off.
I actually will beat that.
Okay, great.
Sergio Aragonés and Fred Hembeck.
Okay.
Wow.
And what would they be writing? Droids?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad I guessed that.
Mobius is dead.
Yeah.
So, but Mobius was the one who inspired the droids cartoon. Did
yes,
you guys
no.
know that?
I did know that. That cartoon was insane.
So, yeah, Fred Hembeck and Sergio Aragonés.
Very cool.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. I think Jason Aaron and John Cassidy are pretty
good. No, you have to
they're pretty good. You have to come up with a new one, though.
New one.
Yeah. You said you had it better, and I don't know if that's going to be better than what they're doing.
We're really splitting hairs. Pete, what do you think for a better... What are you for your ultimate dream team?
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see a darker Han Solo written by Brian Azzarello.
A darker Han Solo, like he smuggles fucked up stuff?
Yeah, like real fucked up shit.
You know what would
ooh, drawn by
you know what
Ramos to make it brighter what he's doing?
You know, it's tough because I was never really a Star Wars fan.
Oh, fuck you.
But I gotta, I'll be honest with you. I think that it would be really interesting to see Kevin Rubio come back. He was the guy who did, what was it, Troops?
Oh, yeah.
The mm-hmm. 8-minute Star Trek, Star Wars movie, rather.
Yeah.
Where about the droids you were looking for. And after that, I think he did a comic for Dark Horse. Called Tag and Bink Are Dead, and that was really good. And I think that he would be a really interesting. I don't follow any of the mainstream Star Wars stuff, but I think that that'd be a really interesting take on the mercenaries. Take whatever that lizard guy is, Bosk, and Boba Fett, and Hammerhead, and Greedo, and Greco, and put them all together. And then that could be a really interesting, almost like a take of Sinister. Sinister suppose of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
See, the problem is you said some bullshit in the beginning, and then everything you said after that got negated.
Got real cool.
What? Sergio Aragonés and
no, Fred the Hamm- fact that you didn't watch, you weren't into Star Wars.
All right. He's into it now. He's cool. Hey,
are you into it now?
Hey, Pete, I can vouch for him. He's
cool. Are you into it now?
Pete, be cool. He's cool.
Can you appreciate it now?
No.
Well, then fuck what you're saying.
I didn't see it when you saw it.
You guys might be mortal enemies. I'm glad we're discovering this now.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not like I said that Punisher, you know.
You're going to finish that sentence?
Guys. Love. You guys have to kiss at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
My pick would be the Saga team on a Princess Leia Han Solo family adventure.
Oh, nice, dude.
Wait, you just said you couldn't do better.
Yeah. No, he didn't say that I couldn't do better.
That's
yeah.
true.
Or a Jabba's Palace Ryan North written comic. Ryan North who wrote Adventure Time and is now doing Squirrel Girl, which is very good. That's it for your audience questions.
Yes.
Now we're going to jump in. What's that?
Yeah, never mind.
That was three. Now we're going to jump into a little section.
Well, we have four. We have four.
Okay, great. Well, then you can take those home. Pete, you love comics. Let's talk about The Week in Geek.
Let's talk about Week in Geek.
Let's talk about Weeks and Geeks. I'm talking all the stuff in the internet world and television and films. That's our new theme song.
You took that and ran with that. Well done.
You know, I'm, as I said, it's vocal boot camp. A lot of stuff.
Very intense. It's very,
very intense. Oh, very my God. Yeah, you got to be on vocal rest for several weeks afterwards. That's a musical theater reference. So let's talk about some stuff that happened in the outside the comic book world and in the larger entertainment sphere. We had Agent Carter premiered last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Agent Carter?
Yeah, I did, and I really enjoyed it.
Both episodes?
Yeah, it was weird that Rorschach and Washington were there, and I was really missing
Yeah. good.
No, actually, I really, really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see. I actually really found it awesome. I enjoy it probably more than my other favorite superhero TV show.
Which is?
Flash.
Who?
What?
More than Flash.
What? Are you serious?
I
strong applause.
Two episodes in. I will say two episodes in.
Really?
The first... Agent Carter, the first two episodes of Agent Carter are better than the first two episodes of Flash.
But
Flash got so good after... Flash got so good after episode three that it suddenly took off. And so Agent Carter, this is like a pivotal Agent Carter episode. So whether or not she'll like have the... But I loved, for example, The Man in the Yellow Suit, Christmas special. I got my mom to watch that, and she was so – she's now a fan of the Flash TV
really?
Show.
Really? Wow, that's
yeah,
so
that's... talk about brand advocacy there, Pete LePage.
Yeah.
Jesus
this is the
most Christ.
Contentious I've ever seen Pete, and he straight up destroyed Riley Brown for his Lobo redesign.
Wait, here on stage?
On the show, yeah.
Yep.
Well done, Pete.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
All right.
Wow, ally.
So we don't.
Now you're friends again.
Yeah, now we're friends again.
Pete, Agent Carter.
Well, I really love it. I don't think it's better than a lot of the stuff out there, but I'm excited for it. It's hard because it's like just watching her get shit on all the time for a woman for being a woman is hard, and it gets old fast. But I know that's the time period, and I know that's what I signed up for.
Yeah.
But it's just shitty because I'm like, come on, guys. I'm like yelling at the TV like, you're better than that, but they're not. So
I did think they hit that a lot, but I think they're just setting up bigger and bigger wins.
Right. But I just wish that...
People were better in the
1940s. Well, yeah. it's a hard thing that pulls me out of it a little bit, but it's great. I mean... Yeah, I enjoyed the second episode. Really amped up the action and everything. Yeah. So, like, I'm on board. I don't know if I would say it's better than the Flash.
One of the things this is sort of a weird tangent, but it's super cool. It's like I grew up, whereas everybody else was growing up in Star Wars, I grew up in old time radio. So,
oh, wow.
Like, listening to
85-year-old man.
You wanted to be a Foley artist when you grew up?
Yes.
Speaking of Foley artists, the stuff with the Foley artists in during the fight.
Oh
my
God!
Awesome.
I was just
going
to say that. So
Clump.
I was listening to that and going, oh wow, that's really cool. I really want to listen to a Captain America radio show.
Yeah.
Like I really want to, and then I forgot that in 1999, Joe Kelly, Ben Robb, John Cassaday, and the Marvel Interactive Department, which was a part of it at the time, made a Captain America radio serial called Excelsior Theater, and it ran for 11 episodes. Stan Lee narrated. And
wow.
It's really cool. So it's really difficult to find, but if you Google Excelsior Theater, Captain America, you can find it. And it's like through a flash player, but it was executive produced by John Cirilli, who's still at Marvel Interactive. And you can listen to it, and it's really cool to listen to these voices. And it was some of Joe Kelly's earliest published work.
That's awesome. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, it's not quite the same as listening to a 2014 reinterpretation of a Captain America radio serial, but it's actually really cool to listen to because the audio is still really good for 14-year-old, 15-year-old technology.
Very
that's
cool.
Awesome, man.
I loved Agent Carter. I thought from a character and storytelling point of view, it is better than The Flash. The Flash was
what the fuck, you motherfucker!
The Flash is very good, but it's a lot of those characters act stupid. They act very stupid.
Bad guys of the win.
Yeah.
The bad guys of the week.
Bad guys
seriously?
Of the week. It seems like it's a...
Seriously?
It's like a more beautifully shot show. It's great. I love The Flash.
I love The Flash. Flash is like...
Well, no, you don't. You clearly don't fucking love The Flash. Because if you love The Flash, you wouldn't think this is fucking better.
No, I have room in my heart for two loves.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there's a pecking order and everything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a pecking order. I'm just wide open, man.
That is just ridiculous.
I'm just
man.
Open for love, business. Let's move on. Talk about...
You feel like the old-timey shit got old?
What?
No.
Of Agent Carter?
I grew up on old-time radio.
It never got... No.
I also hate Star Wars.
No.
Take it back. Take it back.
Pete, sit.
Take it back, you son of a bitch.
He also hates Peter Parker, so...
And Pete LePage.
Pete LePage is the Pete Parker of Pete LeParker. That's good. Let's move on and talk about a recent trailer for the movie.
First off, you don't mean that, right? You're just doing that to get
me
mad.
He doesn't like Peter Parker. He does like you.
You don't like Peter Parker. You don't like Spider-Man. One of the most, like, classic heroes of all time. Like, the hero that everybody can pretty much relate to. The everyman. The guy who struggles with, like, juggling everything in his life and, like, trying to make things work.
I don't like whiners.
You think Peter Parker's a whiner?
Oh, my God, yes.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, if I could go save my Aunt May.
That is
May.
Just ridiculous.
Aunt May, speaking of Aunt May, Aunt Man, look at that segue.
What? Aunt May?
Aunt Man.
What?
Oh, Aunt Man, Aunt May. Aunt Man.
That does not, wow. That is not the segue.
It's wordplay. It's definitely
it's
wordplay.
It's not even wordplay. It's moving a letter around, if anything. We had a bunch of trailers. We had the new Avengers trailer premiered last night during the college football game.
Amazing.
Very good. This trailer made me especially excited for the Iron Man Hulkbuster armor versus
Hulk
fight.
Are we talking Ant-Man or are we talking
Avengers? We're talking Avengers right now. The Hulkbuster armor versus Hulk.
Yeah.
Awesome. That looks like it's going to be great.
Now, when I was watching that, I was excited for it because it's the, Hulkbuster armor, and that's very nerdy and exciting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it made me mad because I was like, guys, don't fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, stop fighting each other.
That's great. Well, then maybe there's going to be a disagreement.
Fucking fight Ultron. What the fuck? You're better in this.
No, I guess Ultron gets in between them.
Ultron said he hates Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Did you see the trailer?
I saw part of the trailer.
Pretty psyched? Couldn't handle the whole thing? Want to tease yourself a little bit?
I didn't want to ruin too much of the movie for myself. So
really?
I wanted to go into the movie cold, so I think I stopped right when the woman was disrobing in the cave. And I thought, you know what?
That's enough for me.
Yeah, I thought maybe
I can take those
maybe
images.
Maybe I don't need anything more than that. But no, I mean, it was the same thing with Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I wanted to go into the movie.
Loves that movie, by the way.
I love that movie.
I think it's a great movie.
He hasn't fucking seen it yet.
Oh, I'm saving it for when I can really watch the whole trilogy.
The fuck are
you talking
about?
I can watch Captain America 1, 2, and 3.
We host a show about comic books, and you haven't seen Captain America
2. I really like what I saw, but at the same time, I wanted to be mindful that I'm going into these movies, the Marvel movies in particular. I want to go into the Marvel movies as fresh as I possibly can and not let
preconceived stuff
ruin my, taint my perceptions of the film.
Yeah. So speaking, you said he did say taint.
Guys.
You said taint, which is a great segue into Taint Man, the Taint Man trailer that came out. Yep. Taint Man, Paul Rudd stars as. Yeah. So Ant-Man trailer came out. Did you watch that?
I saw the whole thing of that.
Oh, you let yourself go.
Well, it was on during Agent Carter.
Yeah.
And so if it's during Agent Carter, your favorite fucking show, then you watch it.
Yeah. But during Flash, he's like, he's in the bathroom.
Flash is second rate. I can, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. He runs fast. Ant-Man trailer.
I enjoyed it.
You really did.
I really did enjoy it.
Great. Pete? Interesting. How about you guys out there in the really liked it?
Yeah.
Here's the only thing I didn't like about the trailer.
Okay.
Was sort of the there's so much about it I love. I love seeing Corey Stoll. I love seeing Michael Douglas. I love the whole setup that this is like an aspect of the Marvel franchise we haven't really seen, which is that of family and togetherness.
Yeah. Get to your fucking point.
Oh, wow. Pete LePage. Look, the lights accidentally went out at the same
time. There's a tendency I've noticed for some of these Marvel trailers to sort of have this snarky tag at the end.
Right.
And I didn't appreciate the, like, is it too late to change the name? That was actually my least favorite part of the whole trailer. I enjoyed the rest of it, but that kind of like, I'm setting you up, and then it's kind of like the turn of the phrase, the kind of like deflating of the, haha, here's a little jokey irreverence for you.
I agree with you, but for a different reason. Ant-Man, I feel like, was sort of built up as a departure from the other Marvel movies. It's going to be like maybe a more humorous Marvel movie. Since we've jumped into a couple different genres with the different movies, this was going to be more of a comedy, and this trailer had not a laugh moment.
Yeah, that's the problem I had with it, is I thought Ant-Man was going to be like, you know, like the comic where it's this really funny character, but we didn't get any of that.
We didn't get one good joke, and I feel like we really needed one, especially you got Paul Rudd in there. He's a great comic actor. It was sort of a bummer. But I think the joke they did try to tell was a self-deprecating thing.
Yeah,
which is like it was lame.
That didn't work. But the rest of it I really enjoyed, though.
But what I really liked about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer is you really got to see a little bit of, like, this is going to be different. This is what this movie is a little bit about. And then with this, I felt like sometimes with trailers, the way they cut it, it's completely different than the movie. And I was like, well, wait a second. Is this movie going to be all action and, like, heroics? Or is this going to be fucking funny? Because I couldn't tell by the trailer. So afterwards, I wasn't excited because I was confused to which movie it was going to be.
I mean, I guess when it comes down to it, the trailer is really just a piece of the movie.
Yep.
Let's move on and talk about just one last thing. The Walking Dead released a trailer, and they're all in a foggy bit of woods. So let's move on to our next section, which we like to call trivia.
Yeah.
And please, let's introduce to the stage the star of trivia, Dr. Pete LaParker.
Wait. Dr. Octopus and LaPete?
No,
exactly.
No.
This is the superior Pete LePage running trivia.
None of that is funny.
The inferior.
None of that is funny.
All right, guys. This is a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. A former gift. Yes, you. First hand up,
nice
guy. Come on down.
Knew what he was getting.
Wait, $25 free or $25 gift certificate.
Well, you're good. That's the thing. If you had $25, wouldn't you
You'd
go to?
Comics,
yeah, you would. Know you would. Can I borrow your microphone?
I'm too busy buying mystery comics.
Mr. Guest, please stand here. What is your name?
Travis.
Travis. Audience. Travis. All right, Travis. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and you will win $25. All right, here we go. Question number one. Who is writing Ant-Man number one right now? Is it A, Nick Spencer, B, Jeff Loeb, or C, why the fuck are they killing Deadpool?
Wait, what?
So it's either A, Nick Spencer, or it's B, Jeff Loeb.
A, Nick Spencer?
Yeah! Because let's face it, I mean, Jeff Loeb's too busy. He's doing a lot right now. He doesn't have time to write stuff. All right. In Storm number 7, written by the amazing Greg Pak, Who does Storm escape from in this issue? Is it A, the bad guys, B, the U.S. government, or C, stop killing off my favorite characters, Marvel? What the fuck? So it's either A, the bad guys, or B, the government.
The government.
Yeah! Storm escapes from the government. All right, here we go. Last question. In Action Comics number 38, Superman is fighting a blank. Is it A, monster, B, zombies, or C? I mean, first it's fucking Wolverine, now it's fucking Deadpool. I mean, come on! This is just gimmicky bullshit, Marvel. So is it A, monster, or it's B, zombies? I mean,
monster.
B is in the last... Yeah, yeah. Congratulations. 25 free dollars to you.
Congratulations, yeah. Travis. I can't believe it wasn't the bad guys.
Yeah.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go down to Midtown Comics. Okay. They have been nice enough to sponsor our show. So please go check them out.
Just
real
quick.
Three different locations.
Just real quick.
Yes?
Does it bother you now that they're doing like a, we'll kill off this character, we'll kill off this character, we'll kill off this character? You know what I mean? Does that
What character that has been killed off are you like, well, we'll never see him again?
Well, I know, but it's just such a... It's such a joke. Like,
you
why?
Miss them. Like, they're on a trip away from you.
That's actually...
Yeah, I am talking about Deadpool.
Yeah.
But also, like, Wolverine and, like...
Deadpool's on the cover of most comic books most of the year. So I think he'll be back.
I know he'll be back. It's just bullshit.
Actually, I send Marvel letters and saying, please kill off this character for
Pete
LePage.
All Dave. It's all
Sincerely,
Dave.
Sincerely... Heart Pete LePage. I also send my enemies glitter, so yeah. You know.
You'll see it coming.
That's trending.
Well, at
right
least
now.
You'll be able to stick with Superior the Punisher, will be coming regularly for the next several months. Pete, as I was saying, new comic book day tomorrow. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking for Shudder number 8 and Daredevil number 12.
Ooh, great choices. Any particular? Tell us what Shudder is if people don't know.
Well, that's a good question. Shudder is this kind of story. This amazingly drawn story of this girl who kind of inherits, like, all this kind of, like, powers and response. Not, like, powers, but, like, her dad was, like, this really big kind of, like, dude in the universe. And then she's got to decide, like, well, do I take this mantle or do I, like,
cool.
say fuck you and, like, I want to live my own life.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's really kind of, like, a small story that is really huge, but... told very kind of uniquely.
Nice. What a great summation. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Jupiter's Legacy number 5 from Image, written by Mark Miller. I don't really love everything that he does, but this book about a superpowered family and their descendants who are a bit millennial and they just like to screw around and maybe get up to some villainy, screw up their lives. It's been a great, great read so far, and looking forward to more.
I'm looking forward to... choose just one.
Can do a couple.
I think Copperhead by Jay Farber is
great.
A
nice
really
book.
Fantastic title.
Very good book.
I've known Jay for a long time, and I think this is actually probably some of his best work.
I agree.
I know they're coming. He's coming out with Secret Identities later on in the year, which is, I think, also going to be equally fabulous. And then I'm looking forward to Voice in the Dark by Laramie Taylor, which is a book created by a quadriplegic comic creator who draws and writes the entire book with his mouth.
Wow. Damn. That's an effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. A Voice in the Dark. Check it out.
Wow. Very cool. Dave, plug some of your stuff.
Only Living Boy is serialized on the internets. You can see it at olbcomic.com. It's also available on Noise Trade Books and Tapastic and serialized on Tumblr. And Comixology. And then Deadlands, the Dead Man's Hand is coming out in March. It's available for pre-order now from IDW. And then please, 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 please check out Green Lantern Corps Convergence. It debuts in April. April 22nd, in fact.
April 22nd. Great. Spring will be sprung. And guys, please check out the 80s if you can. That's the show. Pete, tell us some stuff.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out our website at comicbookclublive.com. A couple people to thank our lovely interns, Midtown Comics, for sponsoring the show. Dave, for being a guest on our show tonight.
Fontana's.
Fontanas for having us here every week, Tuesdays at 7 here in New York City.
And the lovely audience.
Please tell your friends. The audience, of course, are coming time and time again. You get to win $25 if you come. It's almost guaranteed. We'll see you next week, guys.
See you. Have a good night.